What's up? This is Not Just a Strength Coach. On today's episode, we're bringing a wonderful guy, great coach, and just somebody who has a story to tell, man. His name is Nick Lacey. I don't want to talk too much about it, man, but he was one of those guys that, you know, I was an intern and he was an athlete and he was just continuously working and stuff. But without further ado, here's Nick Lacey.
Gotcha. So I'm Nicholas Lacey. I'm currently a graduate assistant in strength and conditioning at the University of Southern Mississippi. That's in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, so way, way, way south. So I got here August last year, so I've been here for about a full year now, and still got about another year left as a graduate assistant. Before I was here, I was at the Jets, so I interned on the Justice Gallic up there. He's a great guy. I learned a lot from him. So the internship there, I've kind of been traveling the last couple years. So I was there for about 4 months or so. Before that, I was in Texas at this place named the Michael Johnson Performance Facility. There I kind of helped train some of the combine guys. So just some names that I helped with were Chauncey Garner Johnson, Jonathan Abrams was there, Dre Greenlaw, he's from Arkansas. So got to learn a lot and be around some high-level guys. And then prior to that, I was an athlete at NC State, which is where I met Miles. Played at NC State for 5 years. And while I was there, honestly, I didn't know, you know, I was going to jump into strength and conditioning. I kind of talked to Coach Thunder and Coach G about it, but I kind of just dibbled and dabbed, and then I wasn't quite committed to it. But ended up finding that it's my niche and been, you know, still working and grinding, still very young in the field. So that's kind of how I've gotten to where I'm at today.
Right on, man. And just to add on that, man, like Lacey was one of those athletes that, you know, kept me motivated as an intern because, man, I'm telling you right now, man, me and some other interns call, you know, NC State, you know, the Thunder Academy, man. Like once you get through something like that, man, like I'm telling you, you're going to be straight. But like the starting off, man, it was rough, man, because it's just a lot thrown at us for sure. And, you know, seeing guys like Lacey, man, just keep working every single day, nonstop, trying to be better. Like, that just inspires you as a coach just to want to be better for an athlete like that, to, you know, be able to provide the best for that athlete, just knowledge-wise and just physically there and presence-wise as well. But one of the things that, you know, I wanted to, you know, bring up and have you talk more about is just how did you know necessarily that, you know, you wanted to dabble a little bit in strength conditioning? Like, you know, you're a collegiate athlete, you're at a, you know, a good strength conditioning program at NC State. So like, how did you, you know, just muster up, you know, the thought and then just, you know, action and follow through with that?
Yeah, so very interesting. I did not want to coach. I remember guys that actually called them like, this is not it, right? You know, especially, you know, we were around some guys and I was like, gosh, if I got to coach myself, right, like, I don't think I'd want to do it. And, but I got interested, you know, I love the weight room. I love the training that we're doing. You know, I had the pleasure of learning under Coach Velkamp and Coach Thunder. So I think there's two great strength coaches in the field, and they both showed me two different things. And I thought that it was a great opportunity to learn under them. So I kind of piqued my interest a little bit. Tim Rabus, he's more of he's your educational guy. He's your smart guy. And, he started showing me a few things, but I still wasn't committed. And the way I really got into it, I was right after I graduated. I went to Baltimore for a couple months, did an internship there. But I came home and I started helping out with the high school team. I helped out just the radio. Like I said, I didn't want to coach, so I was trying to, like, I love football, right? Mm-hmm. And since I wasn't committed, I was like, I'll try to stay close to it. And I was at one of the games, and this lady just started talking about health and fitness, and man, I like all that stuff. Like, I'm still getting up training. Yeah. And so I met with her, and she's like, man, I think you would really be good at strength and conditioning, like, in training, guys. And she's like, just, like, look up a couple guys. Just let me know what you think. So I looked up Eric Cressy's spot, and I ended up having the opportunity to go to Texas after communicating with them. But that was kind of first how I dabbled. I wasn't sure. Like, I really was like, all right, I went to Texas on like a hope and a prayer, just like, hey, we'll see how this goes. And I turned out that I really enjoyed it. And I know strength, the training piece, we all focus on that, but for me, the two things, I love football, so I want to stay close to the game. And the most important is I get to impact guys that 18 to 22 range. I will always say that. Coach Thunder, I can't give him credit enough. He helped mature me as a person, and you know, I can't help but to give that back to others.
Oh yeah, man! Shout out to you know the whole NC State staff, man. It's wonderful coaches over there, man. Seriously, absolutely. Like you know, molding young coaches isn't easy, and if you stay consistent with it, man, you get coaches like Lacey out here, man. And now you know, like just to add on to that, how was your experience at you know Texas with Michael Johnson and all that?
So it's MJP was it was very different, like from different in the sense of it's more of your private side of things. Mm-hmm. So the environment is almost it's more of a relaxed environment as you know, strength and conditioning in college football is more it's loud. It's yeah. you know everybody has juices flowing. There guys were I mean they're preparing for the professional level for that next step. So they're a little more mature. They were about their business a little bit more. Yeah. And we were focusing on getting the guys faster and training and prepping them well for the combine. So while I was there, there wasn't much of – the guys were developed. You were saying, okay, how can we get him from a 4.49 to a, you know, 4.41, right? Mm-hmm. Just a little thing. So when I was there, I was under a guy, Mo Wells, who was doing great in the field. And he was a speed guy. So I literally learned as much as I could from under him, from stance to where you strike out to posture, which is, again, sometimes in RFA, you might not get to hit that much stuff with the time that you're allotted. So it was more triggered or aimed towards speed training and getting them ready for the combine and also your 225 test, your jump test, your vertical test. So it was more of that kind of stuff as opposed to what you would see as far as development in a college setting.
Right, right, right. So, like, would you say you were training more on the explosive side versus the strength side, or was still, you know, you kind of still doing both?
Yeah, I would say more of your velocity based stuff on that end. So you might not get heavy weight, but we're producing force and we're producing it very fast. And then it was very as far as the speed work goes, there was very minute things that we critique. And Mo was really good at finding little things that the guys could have done better as far as their hand placement or keeping their head down a little bit longer or you know, just getting their hips through. So it was more the small things as opposed to here at the midst week. We got to develop the guys first before we can get that specific, you know, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. No, it definitely makes sense, especially for me. I mean, like, you got to build a solid foundation before you start trying to get to the, you know, smaller things that, absolutely. You know, people really don't pay attention to. But I remember you said that you went to the Jets as well, man. Speak on that a little bit, man.
Yeah, so I had the opportunity to go and learn up there and an amazing experience. So I was supposed to be slotted for 10 weeks and Justice kept me on for an extra four. And I thought I had an amazing time. Very different, obviously, from MJP. But it was cool to see how Justice, he's so smart and how he was, one, keeping the guy safe, right? So you might have 28, 29 year old. Guys who have two kids who, you know, they have different stressors other than football. And he did a very good job of developing them and helping them stay strong while they were there, but also keep trending upwards. You know, sometimes I feel like, you know, once you hit 25, 26, you might hit a wall as far as the weight room, but he found a way of getting the best out of the guys, no matter what. While I was there, I mean, I was interning. So, I mean, I guess your first couple weeks, you're just kind of, you're clean and you're doing the little mm-hmm. things. But as he got more comfortable with me, I was able to coach some of the guys. For me, it was a little intimidating because, again, some of these guys, we used to joke with them that they've been in the league more years than I have been weeks there at the Jets. And I thought that was always funny. But they were very receptive to coaching. And for me, I think that was my first real step of being louder and really getting my coach's voice. I'm still developing it, but it was a great opportunity to honestly just learn and connect with others in the field, which I think is very important.
Right. And I like, especially like just thinking about it, bro, like you starting interning with the Jets and like a few weeks later, like you're able to like, for one, have conversation with those guys, two, be able to coach them. Like, like that's a humbling experience, man. Like, you know, that's an opportunity a lot of people, you know, die for, especially in this profession. But just going on, you know, you being more open to talking and coaching and stuff like that. So, like, how would you motivate those type of athletes versus the athletes you had at MJP and the athletes you're working with now?
So, this is a great question. The guys actually asked me here, what's the difference? What's always the difference? Well, those guys, like, it's a business in the NFL. I know people say that, but once you see it, it really is a business. So there is no, like, hey, I'm going to show up later. I'm not going to show up today. Like, you won't be there. So, honestly, for those guys, the motivation in coaching them, they came with it. So you were just fine-tuning things. And everybody came ready to work. Everybody came. They were there on time. They did what they were supposed to do. So it was easy, honestly. I mean, you just coach then at that point. You don't got to worry about the small things. You coach. Okay. And what I liked about those guys is sometimes, like I said, I was a little intimidated when I first got there, but you realize, I mean, they're normal human beings that, you know, they might be a little bit bigger than you, you know, mm-hmm. they're in the NFL, but honestly, they all want to be coached and they all want to get better because their sport itself is important to them. So they're trying to find any and everything that they can do to play and maintain their stuff at the highest level. So I thought they were very receptive. Our guys here at Southern Miss, they do a great job of coming to workouts. They're still younger though too. So you might have an 18-year-old or 17-year-old who just came out of high school. So that's more of the development as far as both the strength side and them just maturing as a person. I thought that's probably one of the biggest differences in the NFL and the college arena.
Yeah, not like I kind of already like figured that a little bit, but I want people to understand like what you see in the news about, you know, certain athletes, you know, and the professionals doing, you know, immature things. That's a small population to, you know, what's, absolutely. You know, the main, you know, number of athletes that's actually in the league, you know, practice squad included. So like what you see, man, like, you know, the social media just multiply that by 100 and make it seem like every athlete is like that. When in reality, majority of those guys got families, like you said, like they got kids, like they ain't got no time to be doing stuff like that versus, you know, absolutely. The athletes you're dealing with in college, like they ain't got no kids. They might have a dog, they might have a girl, but like they really don't have, you know, any, you know, really important responsibilities to really be concerned about. So it's like, it's very important for the people who deal with them to understand, like, I got to mature this person up because right now they're seeing, you know, what's going to happen tomorrow, but like, they're not seeing, you know, what's going to happen if I do this, you know, 10, 15 years down the road, and I need to, you know, help the athlete mature into understanding that, you know, my actions carry a lot of repercussions depending on what I do. So I'm glad you hit on that, man. So going away from professionals, coming back to college now, man, like what concerns have you seen so far with, you know, young athletes coming in straight out of high school or even transfers from JUCOs too?
Gotcha. So for me, again, those were two different, being at the Jets is way different from being here. I think in terms of just the guys themselves, is their maturity level. But guys now, and it's not everyone, but guys are very trendy. So they, especially even in the weight room when it comes to things. So they ask like, guys, like, hey, coach, why aren't we standing on a Boston ball today? Or like, why aren't we doing stuff? And we're like, yo, we're just trying to get you have a base strength right now. Like we're very basic right now. We're trying to get you strong. Then we can work on some things that are more relative or more specific to the sport. So I think that in itself is one of the things where you kind of have to get guys on board to say, hey, like, let's get as strong as fast as possible right now, right? So, you know, I'm trying to develop your speed. I'm trying to develop your strength. And then from there, we can work on the smaller things. And Coach Dernan, who I'm under here, he does a phenomenal job at that. Like, the numbers that we see here, I haven't seen any other place even. As you say, he does a great job of just developing the guys. Because, I mean, we're a mid-major, so sometimes we have to do a little bit more developing than I guess you typically might see in the Power 5. But he does a phenomenal job, and I kind of just – I'm learning as much as I can from him. And, again, like I said before, Coach Thunder, he really helped me not only in the weight room and on the field, but also as a person. So I'm trying to, again, get these guys, you know, prepared for life, this life after football.
Right. Side note, we're not going to be squatting no athletes on no daggone BOSU ball, man. Just go ahead and put that out there right now. Like, we see the trend out there in the private sector. That's not happening in collegiate. I can go ahead and tell you that right now, man.
Absolutely.
But for sure, man, like, I definitely agree with that, man. Like, just seeing, you know, kids just hop on trend, man, and just, you know, like I said again, you know, social media is just throwing stuff out there, man. I'm just like, kids, like, you got to understand, like, why do you want to do that? Like, what benefit are you getting from that? Are the, you know, is it worth the risk? And they'd be like, what risk? Well, if you squat on a daggone BOSU ball with a barbell on your back and you freaking fall off, like, is it worth the risk? They'd be like, nah, man, like, we're going to start light. No. You're not understanding, bro. Like, you're not doing it, period. Like, I'm going to go ahead and let you know right now. But, yeah, that was great stuff, man. So now, what's your concerns for young coaches, man? Like, you're a young coach right now. I'm pretty sure you talk to, you know, plenty of other young coaches and stuff. What is one of your concerns that you have for them? Not only, you know, strength coaches, but also position coaches.
I think one is, if I just say concern, I mean, me and myself is being one-track minded. So you come up with – there's a system that you like, and you're like, all right, this is it. And I think that I fell into that trap a little bit as a player. All I knew was the Olympic side of things. So I knew you're clean, you're snatch. And I know that because in high school I did that, and at NC State we did that. But I had to learn that Thunder knew his plan, right, because we knew their plan, so they could implement it. But just because someone has a different plan doesn't mean they're wrong. They found a different way. Here we always say there's a thousand ways to skin a cat.
Yes,
thousand ways to skin a cat. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something that I really had to open my mind up to. Here, we're more of your West Side style. And I had to, if I was so closed-minded, I wouldn't be able to learn here. I think that's been one of the biggest challenges for me, is to say, okay, I know this. Let me close that off for a little bit, learn what I can here, and then I can incorporate what I knew before back into what I know. And I think that sometimes we get so, like I said, I've done it. I always got to pull myself out of it. We get so one-track minded, as in believing this is the right way to do things, that we close off new knowledge and things that might really actually help other athletes. So I think that's a big thing. And I'm always just trying to learn. I always feel like the guys that I tell them, I feel like I don't know enough. I got to read more. And I think that just being eager just to learn more, I think that you have to be very vulnerable and just see where you're at. But also take that and take your opportunity to learn more, get yourself better educated. That's the one thing that I always feel like I'm behind and I'm trying to catch up to, because in reality, I've only been with a solid team like this for one year in the field. So still learning a lot.
Oh yeah. Like, what I will, you know, give you a tip on, bro, is you're always going to feel like that no matter what, because I remember we used to have these roundtable discussions at State. I'm pretty sure they still do now. But when you had other people give information and stuff like that, that's when you begin to realize, like, dang, like, I really don't know much. Like, I need to take that sheet and, like, go further in depth with it and stuff like that. And I think it was Tim or somebody there, Tim Rubbers at NC State, that always said, you don't know what you don't know, and then when you realize something you don't know, you realize how much you really don't know about something.
Yeah,
and I'm just like,
absolutely.
Like, when he said it, I'm like, bro, like, what? Like,
that's crazy. Yeah,
like, it's crazy how it made sense, but like, for a lot of people that probably didn't make sense, man. I'm just like, look, like, when you realize something you don't know and you, like, learn just a little bit, you realize how much you really don't know about that thing. And like, I like the fact that you're like, I gotta shut this off for a little bit and then just allow this and, like, absorb as much as this, and then once I feel good about this, open it back up and put my own twist to it. I feel like that's the perk of being a strength coach, especially young, you know, especially with you, you know, being able to go to so many places. You're able to say, like, I'm gonna put this in my bag. I'm gonna put this in my bag. I'm gonna put this in my bag. And eventually, after a while, you're gonna have your own program that's gonna have, you know, speed work, then daggone some West Side work, and then some Olympic work. Like, it's gonna look funky. It's gonna look weird, but you know it works for you and your athletes, man. Yeah.
I was gonna just appeal at my out. So there's two of us, GA. So it's me and I have my roommate Austin Winfrey, and he's one of the guys who he had to shut me up and be like, hey, listen, I know what you did at NC State. I know what you did before, right? But you hear you got to open your mind to new things. And he was one of the guys that we will sit in here, we'll chop it up. We're both young in the field, and like you talked about how you have to kind of pick and choose, right? You learn something here. And for me, I always have the hardest time of saying, dang, I want to do this, but I want to do this, but we uh-huh. I like this, I want to add this. And he always asks me why. We can be in here and say, hey, like, what you want to do today? Like, if we're doing a staff lift, we can say, hey, all right, I want to go 3-board today for once. And he'll be like, cool, why you want to do that? And I think for me, that's the most challenging thing, because I mean, once you understand why you're doing it, you can implement it. You can implement it. You can anybody can write a program. They can write, rep sets, worry about volume, intensity, but the why behind it, I think, is so important. And I think that's one of the things that I've really been challenged with here, as in to understanding why I do different things, or why I think different movements are important, or why, like, I have women's golf. Why I do some of the things with them that I might not do as much with football, right? They're a rotational sport. I get a lot of rotation with them just to hammer that. Their glutes are very important, so I always find some things for them. So I think that finding the why has really tremendously challenged me, but also has really helped me to grow in the field.
Oh, yeah. And, like, for people to know, like, when you identify a why, you have to know the exercises to help, you know, strengthen that why. And I'm pretty sure you guys do it, but like the movement assessment and stuff like that helps you identify like what an issue is and how to go about it and why it's important to freaking strengthen that issue or that deficiency or whatever. So I'm pretty sure a lot of people that's listening in are probably like, you know, like, why do you have to explain why it's your program? It's like, no. I'm writing a program, but in reality, it's the athlete's program. It's what they're deficient at. It's what they're weak at. It's their program. I'm just writing it, you know. So a lot of people always think that, you know, we're just strength coaches. We just slap on a freaking workout and we just roll. And it's just like, no, man, like, you know, you just added a part in there. It's just that why. Like, I can make somebody squat all freaking day and bench all freaking day, but, like, why? Like, why would I do that? Like,
what's the purpose? Yeah.
Like, is it beneficial for that athlete? Probably not, but it's my program. No, like, you got to get out that mindset, like, and being exposed to other sports, you kind of, like, realize, like, okay, like, yeah, I can say it's my program, but in reality, it's their program. I'm just helping guide them to make them better athletes. Yep. So, all right, man, like, that right there, especially as a graduate assistant, like, man, okay, let's go to graduate assistant. Tell people about your schedule, man. Tell people about your schedule, what you're doing, man.
It's a blessing. It's hours. You have to, you realize that I typically get up at, depending on the day, like this morning I had women's golf. So I get up at 5:30 for women's golf. Mm-hmm. And then football is pretty much our primary. So, like, I'm doing football regardless of whatever the day is. So I got up at women's golf. And then we'll have a couple of football groups. I'm pulling maybe 5:30 to, I do dinner check at night. So I might get out of here around like 8:30 or 9. So it's a long day, but again, I signed up for it. So I never complain about that, but it's long. I think what sometimes gets left in the back that people forget is that you're also in school.
Right.
All right. So you have to find a way to when you're not training groups. For me, like, for me here, I help train the guys. I've been getting an opportunity to do the nutrition because we don't have a nutritionist here. So all the snacks, I make all the snacks, all the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches you can think of for the guys, and I have to have them at practice or after a lift. So I have that on top of, again, I'll do dinner check at night to make sure the guys, so I sit, make sure the guys come at night. and then find a way to do your schoolwork and learn at the same time. So again, it's I think it's challenging, but it's a good bit of challenging right now, because I know that you as you get older or more mature or in the field, you might not be doing school, but your time is going to be consumed somewhere else, and
right.
the stakes also get a little bit higher. So, it's a pretty hefty schedule. Not going to lie to you, it's pretty hefty, but again, a blessing that I have the opportunity to be here.
For sure, man. Like that's mainly for the audience, man. Like I already know, like, so I fast tracked my schedule. So I did 4 classes a semester instead of 2. And bro, I'm telling you, like, outside looking in, like, a lot of people are just like, oh, you're a graduate assistant. Like, you got it made in the shade. And it's like, I'm blessed, but I ain't got it made in the shade. Like, the hours are crazy, man. And, like, I don't think people understand that as much. Like, people see you as an intern, and they're just like, oh, like, he's just trying to get his foot in the door. It's like, right. Oh, now he's a graduate assistant. Like, oh, like, he got it made. Like, you know, after he gets done, like, he's in the promised land. It's like, I ain't got it made. I still got to work. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, even as a, you know, full-time coach, it's still like, nah, I ain't got it made. Like, we still got to work and find new ways and do better things. And I think a lot of people kind of get afraid of the that term, you know, graduate assistant, because they know that school part is added in, and, like, you got to find time for yourself to do the school part. So I think, you know, I like it being in there, because it is a deterrent for coaches who aren't necessarily dedicated to the profession, man. So, you know, big kudos, and, you know, you already know I'm proud of you, man. You know, you are like, from day one, man, you come in the door excited, geek, ready to go every freaking day. Like, I already know you're doing that there, bro.
Absolutely. I think too that I think intern or graduate, both, I think they give you what like what you were just saying, they give you a piece of the field. So you get to see, like, all right, this is either for me or it's not. Like I said, like, we're on average, we're going about 15 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we're in season, so that's 7 days a week. So there is no, you know, you get your Saturday and Sunday off. But I think that that you really get to see whether this is for you or not. And I think that's been the cool thing that I've been able to. Because the hours, I think that's not ever, for me, that's never a question. I'm like, dang, we're doing so many hours. I think, you know, where can I get better at? Where can I, how can I help coach, you know, in the weight room a little bit better? How can I learn this exercise or coach this a little bit better? I think that's the stuff that I get to focus on, as opposed to, you know, the hours that I'm pulling.
Oh, yeah. And, like, I think – and this is for the young coaches, obviously, being a graduate assistant. Like, if you're concerned about the hours, there's a good chance this profession ain't for you. Like, regardless, even if you're full-time and you're just working with football, there's a good chance you're there dark and early, and you're probably going to leave dark and late. There's a good chance that's going to happen. So I like the fact that, you know, a lot of people respect the field once they've already done it. Mm-hmm. And the people who haven't, man, like, I don't think – like, they just be like, man, bump it, man. Like, I don't want to be no graduate assistant. Like, you're missing an opportunity of a lifetime, to be honest with you. Like, because it forces you to be more structured. It forces you to, you know, be better with your time, obviously, because you ain't got much of it. And, you know, being afraid of it and just, you know, saying to hell with it, it's a disservice, man. You're doing the disservice to yourself. But, going back onto you, man, as a graduate assistant, I know you said you're working with golf, and you all obviously got to work with football. What other teams you working with, man? Like, how is the dynamic of those teams and stuff like that?
So we actually just got two new GAs. So my roommate and another one who have kind of helped take the load off. So last year I did football, women's golf, and then I did the sprinters and jumpers for track and field. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just more observed and jumped in a little bit with the volleyball and beach volleyball here, but we've kind of split everything. So all of us have our main group. So me and another guy, me and Austin, we have football, and then we have an additional group. So my two are football, and then I program, and I mean, I do everything for women's golf pretty much.
Okay.
So, and then he has football and he has the throwers. So he programs all of the throwers. And the assistant that we're under, we still communicate with him. So I wrote my program, but I'm in waves right now. So it's almost blocked off every 3 weeks. But we always discuss it. So I'm like, hey, like, this is what I was thinking. This is why I thought that. And he'll tell me like, hey, like, I feel like this would be a good fit, or like, maybe I wouldn't do that. I think that kind of helps me grow up a little bit. But those are pretty much the two that I'm working with exclusively. I'm not doing the throwers and sprinters anymore, but I thought it was a good opportunity last year because I got to see some different athletes, how they look, how they train, some things that are different from sprinters than football players. And I think for me, that's kind of been the best thing. I talked to Joe Ken before I came out here, and he said the best opportunity is to see other sports, right? Because all I knew was football. Yeah. And again, the girls that in golf that I trained, they're very different from my football guys.
Oh yeah, I believe it, man. Like, I think me coming down here to Alcorn, man, like, and just being exposed to all these other sports, man, like, it makes you a better coach, man. Like,
absolutely.
I keep telling people, man, like, don't get, you know, one track minded and just, you know, want to be a Power 5 FBS freaking SEC ACC, you know, strength coach, man. Like, get out there and get an opportunity to work with, you know, other teams, because you never know, man. You might pick up something that you can use for football later down the road, man. So take the opportunity if it's there, and don't, you know, pass it up for sure. And, like, obviously you didn't. Like, you took that step, man, and you knew it was going to be hard, and you understood the hours and stuff. So, you know, I'm going to keep saying it, man. I'm proud of you, man. So, yeah,
appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
We're no all problem, into, we're all, you know, I feel like we're all very young, but it's kind of cool to see. It's like our cohort as it just kind of growing. Yeah. In the field, so it's pretty cool to see.
Oh yeah, man. But before we get done, man, like, this is the stuff, man, like, I love getting to, because, you know, it kind of tells me about people and, you know, their thought process and where they're at currently. So big question is, you know, what other issues do you really want to address and talk about? Like, and this doesn't have to, like, pertain to sports or anything, man. Like, it doesn't matter what it is, like, just what other issues you want to bring up, and then, like, why is it important to you?
I think the two things I would love to hit on is, one, I think that we, for one, just even in sports and our field itself, I think that we have to be willing to learn from people before us. I think that's something that and be open to that. Because a lot of us sometimes we're like, everything that they did was old school, the people above us. And I think that for me, what's really helped me in this field, or even just grow, is all the people who are 30, 40 years older than me who could kind of impart some knowledge into me. So before I even got into strength and conditioning, I tell you, I met with Joe Ken, and I grew up with his, he's well known, but yeah. I grew up with his nephew, but he gave me some knowledge about jumping in the field and about life that I think is very invaluable. Like, I had to grow up really fast, and I had to understand what I was walking into. Coach Thunders was the same way. If I call Coach Thunder today, he's the one who really talked me into doing the graduate assistant position, and staying and finishing the master's. He told me how important it was. So I think that we sometimes close off guys who are a lot older than us, who are a lot smarter than us. Because we think everything that we're doing now is the new fad and the new trend. But I think one thing I've learned is from Coach Dernan here, from Coach Thunder, Coach V, that there's so much knowledge that they have. I just want to kind of pull it from them. And again, it doesn't have to be the weight room. It could be just life. It could be, how do I navigate this? I think that's something that I would love to see a lot of the younger coaches, and that includes me, kind of latch on to those guys and really, really try to learn as much as they can. And I guess the other issue is there's a lot going on in the world right now. Yeah. I kind of, when it comes to racial injustice and the protests, all that, I'm not a social media guy when it comes to that. So it's weird. In college, I was your social media guy, like, take love pictures. But now I think there's so much more that you get out of, for me, we do it every day. So I interact with a diverse group of people every day, and I have the opportunity to make change that way. And I think that, one, we have to respect how someone makes change, but also we had a team meeting, and one of our coaches here told us that everyone might not believe the same thing you believe, but you have to be willing to listen and be open to hearing what they have to say. And I think that's something that really stuck with me, is that I think that I've seen a lot of people say, oh, we're going to cancel this person, and this isn't going to go, we're not going to talk this. And I think for me, that drives me crazy, because that's the opportunity for you to learn. So like, I might not know anything about you. That's the one opportunity where you can say, dang, I got 5 minutes to see where this person is coming from, see what the perspective is. And I think that when it comes to everything that's going on, if both sides of whatever your side, if we had two sides, if everybody just took the time to listen instead of wanting to talk first, right, to understand where somebody else was coming from, I think that so many things could change. But we want to throw in our thoughts, and we never want to listen to someone else. So I think that, again, like with everything going on, I'm not a big poster. You're not going to see me posting on social media about a lot going on. But that doesn't mean that I'm not doing work.
Right.
You know, we had a whole protest. That doesn't mean I'm not trying to educate the guys who I'm with here at Southern Miss. But I don't think everything has to be posted. I think a lot more comes out of what you do. And if you saw someone at the grocery store, how would you respond to them, as opposed to everything has to be put out there. But it's kind of, I don't know how you feel about it, but I mean, there's a lot going on, but I had taken about a 2 month break off of social media to kind of cleanse myself. And because I used to tell my sister, we look for what we want. So we'll get on there and we'll look for it. And if we don't find it, we'll keep looking for it until we get it. And all right, that agrees with what I feel. And I think that if you can kind of cleanse yourself a little bit of that, you can be open to other perspectives.
Right, man. And like to hit on what you said earlier with the coaches first, before I hit on what you just said, bro, like I feel like a lot of young coaches in this profession, like they don't have that humility, nor do they understand, like, you know, I don't know much type thing. Like, I'm just going to, you know, enforce what I do know. And you just have to be humble, man. Give, you know, respect and homage to the people who, you know, laid this foundation for us, because, you know, what? This profession has only been here for maybe 30 to 40 years. Yeah, like, and that's stretching it, to be honest with you. So like, there's a lot of people that had to sacrifice a lot for us to even be in this position. We have to be grateful for that, but also ask them, like, you know, how did you start this, that, and the other? And like, how did you get here? Like, I want to do something similar in that way, but like, obviously not exactly, because I'm here right now because of you. So, like, I'm trying to do something else for the people that's going to, you know, come here after me. Like, once you get in that state of mind, I feel like you no longer are afraid to, you know, reach out to a coach and you know, ask questions and just ask them about life and stuff, man. Like, that's big time in our profession. And I feel like, you know, that's what's hindering us from growing as a, you know, respected profession. Because, like I said in my last podcast, like, you know, ESPN already has, you know, the image of the, you know, atypical strength coach, man. It's just like, nah, bro, like, that's not it. Like, you know, and the crazy thing is, like, some of those coaches that you see, you know, doing those wild things are probably pretty smart and just, you know how to play a game to get the attention and recognition. But to add on what you said with, you know, the social injustice and everything, man, I totally agree with it, man. Like, you don't need to post it all the time and stuff. Like, talk to the people, you know, you're around daily and ask them questions. You don't, you know, necessarily need to, you know, talk and give them your point of view. Just ask them, like, hey, like, you know, did you see this? What do you think about that? Mm-hmm. And just listen. Like, after that, like, just listen and, like, just see where your kids are at. Like, I'm calling them kids, but, like, obviously, like, see where your athletes are at. Like, just mentally and everything. And then, you know, when you see, you know, two athletes being, you know, upset or mean at each other, you got to, you know, hop in and be that mediator. But you have to be willing to do that, too. And like, with the social media cleanse, man, I'm big on that, man. Like, you know, long story short, I got in trouble on social media one time, and I was like, man, like, I need to step away from this thing because there's too much going on, man. Like, so it's a constant, you know, 4 to 5 months where I I really don't post anything. Like, you can check my stuff right now. Like, it's
yeah,
it's just like, Miles, you haven't posted in like 8 months. Yeah, I got another month. Don't worry. Like, you might see something later down the road. Like, I'm just not doing it right now. And, you know, that forces you to, you know, if you're not on social media, you, like you said earlier, like, you're going to have to consume that time somewhere else. And more than likely, it's going to be with people around you, you know, the graduate assistants you're working with, or extra work with your athletes and stuff like that. Like, you know, I forget where I saw it, though. Somebody said, like, the average week of somebody just on social media overall is, like, almost 10 hours a week. And I was like, 10 hours? 10 hours a week? They were like, yeah, like, you don't realize how much you scroll, but, like, Apple has this thing where it can tell you, like, how much time you spent on X, Y, and Z. And I was like,
yeah,
I got to, like, check that out. And, like, last Sunday, it said, like, I spent, like 3 hours on Instagram and Twitter together. And I was like, 3 hours? Like, I could have sworn, like, I only scrolled, like, a little bit. Like,
yeah. Absolutely.
Well, like, absolutely, man. Like, I definitely agree with that, man. Like, you know, just step away from social media, man. It's just like, I don't need to show people that I'm active with, you know, resolving this issue with the injustice that's going on right now. Like, I don't need to, you know, post about it and get any, you know, acknowledgement from it. Like, where I get my, you know, satisfaction is knowing that, you know, I'm doing my best with the people I'm working with and seeing on a daily basis to, you know, build a relationship and have that melting pot, man. Like, I don't like seeing people, you know, clicked up because of, you know, stupid stuff. Like, nah, like, that's your teammate. Y'all need to hang out with each other. Like, just because of X, Y, and Z doesn't – that, like, for one, it's dumb, to be honest. Like, I tell people all the time it's dumb. But this is the day and age we live in, and we have to, you know, try to fix that, or we have the opportunity to. You know, we're now young coaches, but we're also on a platform where we are affecting a lot of kids' lives now.
Yeah. I totally agree with that 100%. Yeah. I think that's one of the biggest things. I think that our platform is so special because you can't post everything. Especially as a strength coach, as you know, you're talking to guys every day. And I think that our field really challenges us to live the way that you say that you live.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So you're telling guys to uphold a standard. But they're also looking at you because they see you every day. And I think that that's the blessing of our field, is it keeps you humble and it keeps you honest. I think that that's one of the things that's kind of – I talk to my roommate all the time, and we never, like, post, like training videos. That's not us, right? We never do.
Yeah.
But we're like – we always tell each other, like, are you a strength coach? He's like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, I know I'm a strength coach too. So, like, we don't have to prove to you that we're in the weight room, but we are. And I think the same approach can be taken, like I said, no matter what it is. If you're out there in the community, like, you know, I don't have to prove to you that I'm out in the community. I gotta go out there, right, and impact those lives. But I think that's more important than sometimes, you know, us posting. That doesn't mean I don't want to say, like, social media isn't a bad thing, because I think that it gives you a great outlet.
Mm-hmm.
There's some really good things that have come from it. I think just the way, as with anything, the way you use it can either be beneficial or it can be detrimental. So,
definitely agree with that. All right, man, we're getting ready to wrap this up, man. But, like, I love doing this at the end now. I just started thinking about doing this at the end now, but. What is your end goal out of all of this?
Absolutely. So that's a good question. I think the most popular question would be to be a head strength guy somewhere. Mm-hmm. But I'm, or more of anything, I want to be able to use my talents. So my ability to communicate. Right now, I'm young in the field, so I feel like the Lord has blessed me to be able to communicate with the guys who are, you know, 17 and 18 and 19. But to use that to help impact people, that's my ultimate goal. So, you know, I'm in strength and conditioning. I love it right now, but if I'm not in it in 20 years, if I'm still impacting other people and impacting as in helping them, I can't make them do anything, but giving them the opportunity to develop and mature and be an impactful part of society. I think that in itself, for me, is the overall goal. I know that's not your typical answer, but it's not a, you know, I love strength and conditioning, but why do I love it the most is because I get to interact with these kids every day, and they make me better, and I hope that, you know, I'm doing some stuff to make them better as well. So if I can continue to do that, no matter who it is, I think that, you know, I'll fulfill what the Lord has for me to fulfill.
And that's why this is called not just a strength coach, man. Like, you never know, like, you know, I'm using, like you said, like, the reason why I'm in this profession is because I'm able to touch a lot of guys' lives right now. But 20 years down the road, like, there might be something else where I'm able to, you know, do that even more or whatever. Like,
yep.
And I'm glad you didn't use that, you know, typical, you know, I tell some people it's a cop-out, like, you're just copping out. Like, yeah. Of course, everybody wants, you know, the title and everything. But, like, at the same time, like, what is your end goal? Like, you know, do you want to retire at a certain age and do X, Y, and Z? Like, of course, like, you're in a profession. The top of your profession is freaking being the head guy or director or whatever. Yeah. But, like, you know, there has to be more than that. Like, just saying that is easy. I can say that right now. And, like,
yeah,
people be like, well, absolutely. Like, can you tell me why? And then that's what people get tripped up at. And I'm just like, ah, like, got you now. Like, you can't explain the why, so why are you doing it in the first place? And, pretty much what you said, man, kind of aligns with what, you know, my end goal is just, you know, to continue to touch guys' lives, man. And being able to do that and knowing that, you know, I'm trying to help them not only be a good and great athlete, but also just be a great human being, man, because that's what we need right now, especially, you know, that's what I feel like, you know, with this young age and just social media and all these things, like, we need great role models to, you know, get ready for this generation that's coming right now, because there's a lot of things that, you know, mess these kids up, and pretty much everything is available to them, and we need to make sure they're getting the right things told to them and shown, you know, the maturity and stuff like that, man. It's very important right now, especially for a lot of young guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say that I've said it, but Coach Thunder and then even now here, Coach Darnay, I think they've been both very integral parts of my coaching career and my personal development, as a man. And I think that that is why, again, that's why I do it, is because Coach Thunder took the time out to help me to be a better person. And even Coach Durney here, he's not only focused on the football stuff, because he is, don't get me wrong, but, you know, he wants us to be better men in his society. Right. So I think that, you know, the next generation, if I can do that same thing, no matter how it is, I think that I'm fulfilling what it is that I'm supposed to do.
Right. And side note, Coach Thunder is D'Antonio Burnett at North Carolina State. I'm pretty sure some people are confused, like, who the heck is Thunder? Like, is that an imaginary person or no? That's a real dude. I can tell you that right now. That's a real dude. And when when you see his highlight and all that stuff, you're going to understand why. You're going to understand why. But I definitely agree with him, man. Like, just, you know, being able to, you know, give back to the kids, you know, after us is important, man. Like, it's big and it's huge, because can you imagine if you didn't have a Thunder? Can you imagine, like, you didn't have the coaches that, you know, pretty much mold you to the coach you are today? Like, I think about that every time I, like, you know, tell people about them. I'm like, dude, like, I don't know where I would be, to be honest with you. Like, It probably won't be in this profession. It probably won't even be in athletics overall. Like, I'll probably be struggling somewhere, to be honest with you. But, like, having those people be able to pass their knowledge and, you know, maturity and stuff like that onto me, like, even though sometimes I was being a knucklehead myself unknowingly, but, like, them still, you know, wanting and being able to, because they understand, like, he doesn't know. We need to be that person to help that person, you know, become a better coach. And person and man, because, you know, eventually he's going to be a role model to somebody. He's going to be, you know, married to somebody. He's going to have kids. So, like, we need to make sure this potential leader have these certain qualities. So when they do, you know, get into a situation where it's, you know, adverse situation where you're dealing with a knucklehead athlete, you don't choke him out and punch him in the face. Like, you mm-hmm. actually, you know, teach him, you know, like, hey, look, you were late or you threw something across the room or something like that. Like, young Miles Quimby, 19, 20 years old, probably would have punched you in your face. But, you know, after going through, you know, Daggone Thunder Academy and stuff like that,
yeah.
Look, man, I'm going to tell you why you shouldn't do that, and I'm going to break it all down to you, man. Like, having those people, like, it's very impactful, not only for me, you know, it's impactful for the people that I'm going to deal with later down the road.
Yep.
But, yeah, man, it was good stuff, man. Like, I want to talk about Nick Lacey so daggone much, but, like, I don't have the time right now. Like, Nick, give him your daggone email address, contact information, anything that you feel like you can tell these people, man. Like, people need to reach out to you, man. Like, you got a story. You're a great guy. Like, they need to reach out to you, man.
I do appreciate it. Like, it's never like, what I'm doing, I think, in strength and conditioning, I think many coaches around the country can attest to it. It's about the players. It's, you know, it's never about me. Even when I was at NC State, like, I was around some good guys and I was around some good coaches. My email here is Nicholas, NICHOLAS dot Lacy, LACY, at USM.edu. It's probably the best contact for me, but, you know, I'm always open. I'm still very young in the field, so I'm open to learning more. But again, I'm honored that you even had thought of me being on this podcast. I wanted to come on and as much as I can, just, you know, talk about my experiences. I'm blessed to be where I'm at for sure.
Oh, no, but man. Thank you. Like, some of the people be asking me, like, you've been talking about this Lacy person, like, you know, about dark days and stuff like that. Like, are you going to have him on the podcast? And I was like, is that even a question? Like, yes, I'm going to have this man on the podcast, man. Like, he was one of those guys, like, you knew he was going to give it his all, like, no matter what. Like, we could have just lost the day before. He's still coming in, giving everything he got. And, like, seeing that as a young intern, oh, man, like, at first you question, like, why is this dude still trying? Then you realize, like, he's not going to give up no matter what, man. Like, and that stuff is motivating, man. It's inspiring, man.
Absolutely. I was blessed. I was around some good boys that stayed, and they challenged me every day. We competed every day, and I think that made me better because they required and asked so much out of me being their teammates. So, again, I was blessed. I will say that to the end.
Oh, yeah, man. It was an opportunity of a lifetime, man. That's what I tell people all the time, my time at NC State, man. It's just – God will bless you in ways you couldn't even imagine, man. Like, being there during all that, man. Like, it's – you got to give it up to him, man. Like, he knew what he was doing, man. He knew what he was doing.
He did. Yeah. Told everything. You know it.
Yeah. But, hey, man, I got to go, man. I appreciate you being up here, man. We definitely want to talk soon, man, for sure.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me again. I was honored that you asked me. You know, it's a blessing to be on here with you. So I really appreciate it. And, man, best of luck to you in everything, every aspect, bro.
Oh, man, you too, brother.